Welcome back to Beyond the Uniform. I'm Justin Nasiri, and my goal is to help military veterans thrive in their civilian career and life. Today's episode number 343, Army to U.S. Congressman with Representative Brian Mast.
Yeah, running for office was not this lifelong plan for me. I was a lifer in the military. That was my lifelong plan. I intended to be in the military for 20 or 30 years. I spent my time as a bomb technician or EOD. I was injured back in 2010 while I was serving in Afghanistan. And when I woke up in a hospital bed in Walter Reed Army Medical Center here in Washington, D.C., not long after waking up there, I realized I wasn't going to return to the battlefield in the same way ever that I had left the battlefield. And I still needed to make sure that as my father told me while I was laying in that bed, I need to find a way to make sure that the best thing I did, the best defense that I give this country was still in front of me each and every day. You got to wake up and look forward to the next day, know that you're on the uphill, not the downhill. And while I was laying there, before I could ever get out of the bed, I decided, you know what, maybe my next battlefield would be a battlefield of words and ideas and as a member of Congress.
Although Brian lost both of his legs while serving in the Army, he didn't let that deter him from finding a mission where he could continue to make a difference in the world. Brian ran for and is now a member of the U.S. House of Representatives, representing Florida's 18th District. In this interview, we avoid politics and focus on what it's like to work in politics, as well as why veterans may want to consider this as a career path. For listeners who enjoy this episode, be sure to check out episode 70, Emily Chernaik, How New Politics is Helping Veterans of Both Parties Run for Office, episode 250, Navy Veteran to Congressional Candidate with Josh Welly, episode 316, Navy to Nebraska State Government with Jason Jackson, and episode 66, Sean Barney, Purple Heart Recipient to Congressional Candidate. As always, at beyonduniform.org, you'll find show notes with links to everything we discuss, a text transcript thanks to Kathleen Dillon, as well as over 340 other episodes just like this for free, as well as weekly webinars that are also provided for free. So with that, let's dive in to my conversation with Representative Brian Mast. Well, joining me today in Washington, D.C., my guest is Congressman Brian Mast. Brian, welcome to Beyond the Uniform.
Thanks for having me.
So for the first question I had is maybe jumping ahead a little bit to when you decided to run for office. Could you share with listeners what led that to that decision?
Yeah, running for office was not this lifelong plan for me. I was a lifer in the military. That was my lifelong plan. I intended to be in the military for 20 or 30 years. I spent my time as a bomb technician or EOD. I was injured back in 2010 while I was serving in Afghanistan. And when I woke up in a hospital bed in Walter Reed Army Medical Center here in Washington, D.C., not long after waking up there, I realized I wasn't going to return to the battlefield in the same way ever that I had left the battlefield. And I still needed to make sure that as my father told me while I was laying in that bed, I needed to find a way to make sure that the best thing I did, the best defense that I give this country was still in front of me each and every day. You got to wake up and look forward to the next day, know that you're on the uphill, not the downhill. And while I was laying there, before I could ever get out of the bed, I decided, you know what, maybe my next battlefield would be a battlefield of words and ideas and as a member of Congress. And in the time that I had to lay there in that bed after that, I said, all right, well, just, you know, I'm a service member. Anything that I want to do, I come up with a plan of attack for. You know, we come up with an op order in the military for what we're doing. And so I developed a plan of attack to do it, saying, all right, if that's something that I want to do, what do I need to do to get there? So my plan of attack was this. All right, number one, I just got to recover. I got to get out of this bed that I was laying in, that I was stuck in, had tubes going out of me, wound vacs on me, hadn't started using prosthetics yet. So I just had to recover. Number two, I had to do one of the other things my father told me. He said, listen, you know, when he talked to me when I was injured, he said, doesn't matter what happens to you in life, you can't let your kids see you sitting on your butt. Regardless, because they're always looking at you trying to figure out how to live their life. And so, you know, I had to get back to work. And so that was number two. I had to go back and show that I could still be a productive member of society. At that point, I was a staff sergeant. I had never completed my degree. So I said, you know what, I better go back to school, prove that I can earn a degree and be educated in academia. And then beyond that, I said, next part of the plan, I got to have a place that I'm going to plant roots, because in the military, we move all over. We don't plant roots. And once I plant those roots, I got to go out there and make an effort to become a pillar of the community and be involved in it. And that was all part of the plan. And I executed that plan. And my community said, okay, we'll let you represent us.
That's awesome. I'm wondering, you know, you're the first person, first representative I've had on the show. Could you start, I want to learn more about the day-to-day life for you, but if we could start back on the campaign trail, when you started to run for office, could you paint the picture for listeners of what did that life look like on a representative day or over time?
Yeah. So very beginning, when I first became a candidate, I was not quite done with school yet. So I was actually in my last semester of school, traveling back and forth to Harvard, in Massachusetts from South Florida. And whenever I had a free minute, you know, I'm making phone calls, trying to talk to people. Whenever I was on the ground back home, I was, you have apps on your phone. And at that time, there weren't quite as many apps as what there are now, but there was different meetup apps. So I was looking at every single meetup app that existed out there, groups of paddle boarders, groups of people that cared about business, groups that cared about this and that. And wherever I could find people, I would just go and see what they were interested in, find out what they cared about, what was it that they wanted to see change. And even before that, that's what I was doing when I was actually a candidate. And even before that, I had, for several years, I had a day-to-day effort of going out once a week to just someplace new that I hadn't been the week before already that year. Maybe it was a different AMVET or VFW post. Maybe it was one of the party meetings for the Republican Party, which I'm a part of. Maybe it was just going to have a beer with some people in some place that I had been for, like I said, like a VFW post. Maybe it was going to a walk for Alzheimer's or autism or something else, and just learning things and getting to know people and hearing what they have to say. And I would do it once a week. And I did that for several years. And I got to meet a lot of people as, hey, I'm Brian, instead of, hey, I'm some guy that wants your vote for something. So
That's incredible. I would have never thought of that as an efficient vehicle to meet people. And just one question on that. Have you always been really extroverted and enjoyed meeting people? Did that come natural to you, or was that something that you had to push yourself to do?
I think there's a balance in that, being a member of the military, right? So I think I've always been a pretty extroverted type A personality, kind of guy. And I've always enjoyed people, but when you're in the military, you can sometimes not as enjoy people as much. We can be angry military people, frustrated by them not necessarily adhering to the same disciplines that we might have as members of the military, or some of them being a little bit too sensitive for our very brash sense of humors that we often have in the military. I'm not going to get hyper provocative here, but there's this great set of memes that you can find on, I think you can still find it on Reddit or something these days, where it talks about transitioning out of the military and going into an office. And they're funny memes where they say things like, instead of calling somebody this, this, and this, try saying, Bob, would you mind using your own keyboard? Instead of telling somebody, shut your, whatever, try saying, listen, Tim, we're going to go in a different direction, and it's just... So yeah, I've always liked people. I've always been extroverted, but when you're in the military, sometimes you get a little bit of anger about it.
So. And one other question I had on the running for office part. So we've had a couple people on the show who have mounted a campaign, no one so far successfully, but one of the things that they've all said is the amount of time that they have to devote to fundraising. And I'm wondering how you approach that, or any advice you have for listeners who may go down that path of how to approach fundraising.
Look, when you want to go out there and be a part of, there's a lot of campaigns at a lot of different levels, and the more national the campaign, the more that it costs to do it. And that's unfortunate, but it's literally the truth. Because as I tell people, I speak to candidates often around the country, a lot of times injured service members that are aware of my profile, and they say, they want to go out there and represent at some point, and they want to talk about a plan of attack. I tell them, listen, you have to be prepared to go out there and do fundraising, speak to your friends and and your family, and make a very real assessment about who's willing to go out there and support you to do that. Because it's like the old saying, you know, if a tree falls in the woods, it doesn't make a sound. And you could have the best ideas, the best message, the best story, the best heart of anybody out there in the world. But if nobody gets the chance to hear that, mm-hmm. then you're not going to get the votes because people didn't hear that. And so that's where you have to have that ability to get your message out. That can be now today there's a lot more opportunities for digital platforms than when I very first was a candidate. When I first became a candidate, that was when FaceTime first came out, not FaceTime, Facebook Live. That's when Facebook Live first came out, the first time that you could go out there and you could broadcast yourself to the world. Prior to that, you had to get a news outlet to broadcast you, or you had to buy a commercial, right? Mm. So, buying airtime on a radio, buying it, a commercial on television, and depending on if it's prime time or in the middle of the day, that all costs. And if you want to be a candidate, you have to make a very real assessment and start with, as advise people, if you're a new candidate, look at every single phone number you have in your phone and be willing to call each and every person that's in your phone and ask them if they would be willing to support you to go out and represent your community for the reasons that you think you could be a value add representative to whatever level you want to do that.
That's so awesome. It makes me uncomfortable just thinking about it, but I admire the courage and the ability to put yourself out there. I think not a lot of people would be able to do that.
That's uncomfortable. Yeah. It's not fun to go out there and look at your phone and your friends and your acquaintances and maybe people that somebody else connected you with and say, man, I'm going to have to go out there and ask that person if they'd be willing to support me. But if you can't do that, if you can't, get over that and be willing to reach out to people and be extroverted in that way to some degree, then you're going to have some difficulty as you move down that road in candidacy.
That's a good filter for listeners to understand if they'd want to go down this path. And now that you're elected, now that you're in office, what is your life like? I just imagine how crazy and how many demands there are on your time. Could you give listeners a sense of what a day looks like for you?
Yeah, pretty much every single moment of my day, I'm saying that literally, is scheduled, right? Yeah. And maybe it's scheduled in 15-minute blocks where there's a different meeting here in Washington, D.C. every 15 minutes. Maybe it's somebody from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers because I sit on the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee. And maybe the next meeting is Ambassador somebody from some country in the Middle East because I sit on the Foreign Affairs Committee. And maybe the next meeting after that is somebody that is a constituent from back home and they're up here with their family visiting Washington, D.C. and seeing the sights and they want to speak to me about what's going on. Maybe the next meeting after that is somebody from somebody that has a business down in my district but has legislation before Washington, D.C. here and wants me to hear their point of view. Maybe the meeting after that is somebody that represents an organization like the Alzheimer's Foundation or something, and they want to talk to me about legislation that's before the House. But literally every single minute of the day for me is pretty much booked up, or interviews like this in whatever the block times that we allot them for, from pretty much 6 a.m. until about a midnight every night.
How do you stay sane amidst that just frenetic schedule?
I like it. It's not to say that it can't wear on you. Anything that you do can wear on you, and you have to recharge from time to time. But I think, if I can speak from 30,000 feet about what defines us as Americans, in my opinion, and this isn't everything that defines us as Americans, but I think one of the important parts about us as Americans is that we largely find ourselves in our work. We define ourselves quite often in the work that we do. And I think it makes us so good at the work that we do because we draw so much of our identity out of it. And we realize we might not enjoy every single minute of it, but we become very mission-oriented people. That's what I loved about the military. People always ask about Congress, do you like it? Are you having fun? And it's not exactly the right question to ask. You wouldn't necessarily ask a U.S. service member, oh, are you having fun? But I think they're very similar in this respect. When I was in the military, I didn't enjoy everything I did. It wasn't fun to be cold, wet, tired, hungry, be sleeping on the ground, not sleeping at all, have bullets fired at me, you name it. All of those things weren't necessarily fun. But when we got the mission accomplished, everything that sucked, it faded away. And all you were left with was the purpose that you had of reaching that mission accomplished of whatever that very important thing that you were doing. And that's how this is as well. Not all of the day-to-day of everything that I do here is fun by any means, not by a long stretch. But when we get to mission accomplished for that important thing that I'm working on, then it's all worth it.
That's wonderful. I'm wondering, I can imagine some of these based on what you've said, but for listeners who desire to go into politics, what skills do you think you developed in the military that are helping you now? And even more importantly, what skills did you need to strengthen or brush up or learn that have helped you that you didn't necessarily learn in the military?
So I think two skills I already spoke about in terms of the military. Number one, just developing a plan of attack, right? Mm. And then you know, going out there and executing that plan of attack. That's one of the most important things. If you want to be a candidate, you better develop a plan of attack. And that's not, hey, there's a race next month. You know what? Let me go run for that race next month. That's not a plan of attack. Long term, lay the groundwork for it and then go out there and execute that. That's one of the most important things I developed in the military. Probably one of the other things in the military is just having a blunt approach to speaking about whatever it is that you have to speak about. None of us have time for BS. So go out there and understand that not everybody is going to agree with you, but that's one of the great things about this country. We don't all have to agree about everything, but we can still have conversations and still be friends and understand that, you know, you don't have to sit there and try to appease what everybody thinks it is that you should think and move ahead. And then beyond that, to say, you know, take some of those things from the military that I think you learn are most important about what it is that you're doing. So I speak about three things. And I'm sorry, I have a little cold. So I speak about number one, best leaders that I had in the military, they never asked their soldiers, their men, to do something that they wouldn't do themselves or they hadn't already done themselves. Make sure that you let people know that's how you came up and that's how you'll lead in the future. You haven't lost that. Number two, I was a bomb technician. If I made the wrong mistake or if I did the wrong thing, that could mean the life of one of my brothers in arms that I was out there serving. And so what I learned through that is that the decisions that I make, they have very real effects for the people around me. And that's the same thing for an elected official. The decisions that I make, they have very real effects for somebody's ability to get a good education or their children to get a good education, the way they run their business, the taxes that come out of their pocket and go into Washington, D.C., every single level of their life that comes through in terms of regulation and laws. It very directly affects the people around you, just like what I did on the battlefield. And the third thing, the most important thing is this, and that's why you served in the military or how you serve in the military. When I lost friends in the military, and I've lost a lot, not one of them left this world because they were doing what they thought was best for themselves, because they were worried about getting a medal, because they thought they were going to become famous or write a book or become a millionaire or anything else. They did it because they thought they were doing what was best for this country. They weren't worried about personal gain. They weren't worried about personal sacrifices. That's the way that you serve this country. And if you want to serve this country and you did it in the military in that way, then you continue to do it in elected office in that way.
That's wonderful. I'm also wondering about anything that we haven't covered. If someone is listening and they aspire to run for office, any other advice that you would give to them or tips to help them in that process?
Like I said, best thing that I can tell you is you got to go out there and you got to have a plan of attack. Everybody has different plans of attack, but you know, understand what it is that you're for and how it is that you, in the office that you're seeking, reach the change that you're looking for, right? And I'll give you an example. In my area, I have some very real water problems in my country related to some toxic discharges that come out of a lake called Lake Okeechobee in the summertime. And it's the biggest problem that we have in our area. And I really wanted to make a difference on that. So when I went out there and I asked the community and said, listen, I want to be your representative, and that and Veterans Affairs are the two biggest things that I'm going to go out there and work on. I told them this was my plan of attack for how I'm going to work on that issue. So I want to be in Congress and in the House of Representatives, and in the House of Representatives, there's different committees. And I want to be on the committee that handles that. The committee that handles that is the Committee of Transportation and Infrastructure. And then beyond that, I want to be on the subcommittee that handles that. The subcommittee that handles that is the Subcommittee of Water Resources and Environment. And then beyond that, I want to work on the most important bill that happens every couple of years that affects that issue. And it's the bill known as the Water Resources and Development Act. And I laid out to them a plan of attack of what I would do if I was allowed to go to Washington to go out and fight on the issues that I told them that I cared about most. I looked into it that much at a very granular level and was able to explain to them how I was going to go out there and make a difference. I gave them my plan of attack, and I did the same thing on Veterans Affairs as well.
That's great. I mean, I appreciate how what aided in your recovery, this plan of attack and having a mission and purpose, is also, you know, effectively led you to run for office and now is helping you in office. And you may have already spoken to it, but I did want to just ask you about, you know, in 2010, you made an unbelievable sacrifice for our country. And I can only imagine what that recovery was like. And I know that listeners, most of them are not experiencing what you experienced, and yet we all face struggles and we all face setbacks. I'm wondering if you have any advice for listeners who are going through a rough time, who have faced some sort of loss, who are going through a recovery of their own, any advice to help them through one of these darker or more challenging times?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I mean, one of the most important things that I think I can say about that is that we don't control the challenges that we face for the most part, right? Sometimes we control if we put ourselves in bad situations and we can avoid that. But for the most part, we don't control all the challenges that we face. What we control is what we do in response to the challenges that we face. If we're faced with something challenging, do we curl up in a corner and quit and start crying and cursing God and cursing America? We don't do that. Or do we own it? Do we look it in the eye? Do we give it a big kick in the rear and become that much stronger because of it? That's the choice that we always have laid out in front of us. And for people that served in the military, you think about all the things that you've gone through, but let's just, you know, take it back to the very beginning of military service. When you go through basic training, right? When you go through basic training, you're constantly having challenges put in front of you, folks trying to put you in situations that make you think you can quit, but present you the opportunity to not quit and become stronger because of it. When you're going through a challenge, that's the most important time to draw upon that training that you've had in your life to go out there and succeed and overcome no matter what. And then you do it. And it doesn't always have to be fun, just like everything you do in life, but you have to do it in order to get through that chapter in life, in order to become stronger than what you were in the moments before.
I think that's great. I know only have a couple minutes left here, so I just have two quick questions. One is, for someone listening who's a veteran who aspires to run for go into politics in some form, is there any resources you would recommend that could be books or podcasts or conferences or websites, anything they should check out?
Yeah, I mean, I can give you a number of different fronts. One, there are groups out there that will go out there and they'll give you some education on how to become a candidate. There's one before I remember called American Majority that would go out there. They'd give some classes, for people on, what you should do if you want to become a candidate at any level. Here's some of the groundwork for you to go out there and do. Become educated. One of the things that I did when I was once I became a candidate, but very early on in my candidacy, is I worked with a group called Heritage Foundation. And I went and I asked this group, Heritage Foundation, I asked them for several months. I said, listen, you guys write white papers on every single issue that exists out there in the world. And we all have expertises in life, but it doesn't mean that we know everything in life. And so I said, listen, I want to come up there. I'll pay for it myself. But would you go, if I come up there, would you give me a week and just let me talk to every policy expert that you have? And finally, they said yes. And I went up there and I spent about 8 hours a day for a whole week just speaking to every policy expert that they had on pretty much every single issue that they'd ever written a policy paper on. So it was a lot of these issues. Maybe I didn't have a formal education or live and work in that industry like I lived and worked in counterterrorism or bomb making or things like that. And maybe it wasn't the area that was my expertise based upon what I did in academia. But I had an important conversation about it so that I at least cultivated some thought in my mind about it and was able to establish an opinion on some of these things that were not necessarily my expertise in life, and spoke to some people that did or were educated at a pretty high level.
That's so, I love the determination there and the drive. Last question I always ask is just making open space, and you've been awesome in answering my questions. I'd love to open the floor for you either to talk about anything we didn't cover that you want listeners to know, or just anything you'd like to highlight before we wrap up.
Yeah, look, as you asked about challenges, right? And I mentioned it briefly. My father, he was an important inspiration to me. And the one thing that I would remind everybody of is that we're all going to be an inspiration in life. Every single day, every single one of us, we get to decide the way that we inspire people each and every day. And inspiration, I think it's one of the most important things that exists out there. It can't be taken from you. You can't buy inspiration. You can't look for it on a shelf. It's this magical thing that your hairs stand up on your arm or on the back of your neck. You get this surge of energy or power. If you've been an athlete, if you've been a runner or a bicyclist or something like that, you see somebody out in front of you and you have this determination in your mind that you're going to catch that person. And you get that energy, even though you don't think you can, and then you overtake them, and then you do that for the next one, and the next one, and the next one. That's inspiration. So be aware that you can be an inspiration to others. Allow yourself to be inspired by others, and we all get to move forward and make this world a better place.
Congressman Mass, thank you so much for your time today. Thank you for all the example that you are to our community, and for joining us today on Beyond the Uniform.
Yeah, it was great to talk to you. I appreciate you reaching out.
Yeah, have a good day.
Take care.
Beyond the Uniform is written and produced by me, Justin Asiri, with help from our Chief of Staff, Steve Bain, and our editor, Kathleen Dillon. We are an all-volunteer organization and would greatly appreciate your help in any of the following ways. First, spread the word. Beyond the Uniform has over 330 podcast episodes and 15 on-demand webinars, all offered for free. Help us spread the word on social media, at military bases, or whatever gets this resource in front of more men and women who need it. Positive reviews on iTunes go a long way towards this as well. Second, sponsorship. Beyond the Uniform relies on sponsorship to keep us going. There is so much more we'd like to do, but we don't have nearly the resources to do so. If you know of a company that would like to advertise in any way with Beyond the Uniform, please send them to beyondtheuniform.org. Third, donations. If you're in a financial position to donate, you can find more information on the support section of beyondtheuniform.org. At our website, beyondtheuniform.org, you'll also find 330-plus episodes categorized by industry, functional role, and more. You'll find a link for live events, typically 4 per month. You'll also find both free and for-purchase books that take a deeper dive on topics related to career growth. Thank you for your support as we aim to help members of the military and their families thrive in their post-military career and life.